You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website is rickackerman.com. Where are you speaking to us from today?
I'm in South Florida today, Jim, and it's not bad. Weather's warming a little bit, almost warm enough to play some golf. And the water, you know, even when it was cold here, it was down in the low 40s in Florida.
Wow.
The water was up just above 70 degrees, so it was definitely wetsuit weather.
Now, on the markets today, I noticed everything is in red. The only thing that's made any money today, and it was only on the last pip, was natural gas, which was due to the cold wave sweeping the eastern part of the continent. What's the story with the stock markets?
Yeah, and boy, did that natural gas bull market end in a hurry. It just came down like gangbusters. But yeah, everything is red, which means that the treasuries are going to be somewhat green, which they are. I don't know. I tuned out the news. Sometimes I couldn't even tell you what's on the local police blotter. And so it looks like something made the market come down, but I'm tempted to say it's simply karma and cyclical forces. I hate to use this term topping process because I've been topping process myself about 20 times here, but the Dow is definitely struggling at 50,000. It's an important benchmark. And one other thing I'm noticing, the method that I use produces what I call hidden pivot rally targets, and the major targets are being just missed by the rallies. I had a 7023 target in the E-mini S&Ps, and it missed it by 12 points, which is a relatively big amount. And I also see that the corrective retracements are overshooting their D targets. So to me, that adds up to a possible major tone change here.
Would it have anything to do with the House of Representatives voting to rescind the tariffs on Canada that President Trump imposed?
In a way, I think Trump's credibility is slowly eroding. Some question as to whether it will continue to erode or at some point collapse based on, for one, there's the affordability issue, and I don't think he's fooled anybody on that. Whatever he says about the price of Ozempic decreasing or the price of gasoline, which I'm sure he's pulled out all the stops to hold the pump prices down. But by and large, when people take into account things that are expensive that aren't in the lettuce bin, like health insurance, car insurance, even mortgages, really, all the king's horses and all the king's men are not bringing us, in Trump's way of saying it, affordability like you won't believe.
So, what kind of story are we looking at here? Is this the big market correction that people have been talking about now, it seems, for years?
No, it's just not a correction we're worried about. It's a second Great Depression, which is what's going to come when we finally enter a bear market. There's no way around it, and the bubble is just too big. Some of Trump's policies, I think, I'm not even going to get into well-intentioned, but I think in some ways he's kind of on the right track, but there's a mismatch as to time and policy. You know, you can say, well, I want to make housing affordable to young people, but that's a project that could take 5 years or 10 years or maybe never. And I think his, let's say his domestic political agenda is pretty good, but he's very much, he's overreached himself on economic policy. So let's say that the very large cyclical forces that are orders of magnitude above anything concerning tariffs in Canada are weighing on the markets right now.
Mm. Now, Was it the wrong time to impose tariffs as we were just trying to recover after the COVID shutdown?
Well, we've talked about tariffs before, and you could say that the old system of tariffs was working, even though every country tried to rig things in its favor. Once that's done, even as the process evolves, the system kind of finds equilibrium that might be described economically as a certain kind of fairness. So we had a tariff system that was working before, and now Trump has effectively imposed a tax on the rest of the world that wants to trade with the U.S. And in some cases, he's made some deals that would benefit the U.S. It is, over the short run, kind of a zero-sum game. The U.S. collects a little bit more money, but you know, when you put whatever Trump says we're bringing in now up against a federal debt, a U.S. debt that's pushing $40 trillion, well, you know, a little extra money from wine tariffs and steel tariffs and whatever else is not even a drop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm. Now, gold and silver, they were taking it on the chin as well.
Well, relatively. I mean, gold's COMEX is down $118 an ounce right now. That equates to 2.3%, which it's not a big day relative to what gold has experienced before. It's currently trading 49.80, up from a low right around 4,900. But I think that the damage to the hourly chart suggests it's going to fall from here down to $4,700. That's where I'd be a buyer. And I'd also actually be shorting gold up at 5033, which is $53 above where it's trading now. So, yeah, gold did a little damage, but I think that the larger bull trend, and also in silver, is still very much intact. Silver's getting hit a lot harder than gold today, by the way. It's down almost 9% at $7.40 an ounce at 76. And silver is just really trying to find a floor. And, it's definitely skirting the edge on my own charts, meaning that even though it's at 76, my maximum downside target would be $44. So silver definitely bears watching here.
Wow. Now, silver miners, gold miners, have they really enjoyed an influx? And what about the junior miners? Have they seen a big uptick since gold and silver exploded?
Well, I've got a guest commentary running this week in Rick's Picks. It's by a friend of mine, Steve Houck, who knows the silver world pretty well. And he was out ahead of Bloomberg and all the others with the observation that so many gold mining companies and exploration companies reported the last quarter with gold at a much lower price. You know, a lot of these mining stocks are still carrying gold at $40 or $30 an ounce or even less, and so gold has been up above 70 for enough time that they're going to get to restate the value of the reserves and the price, the value of what they're pulling out of the ground. So the gold mining companies will start to report their earnings, I think, Monday. So you could see some very good movement in the mining stocks and the exploration stocks. But it's hard, you know, it's really hard to predict what will happen if these great mining company earnings that are due out are conflicted by physical prices that are still falling. So if physical prices bottom here and make a bottom ahead of the reporting period that begins next week, we can have a good week for bullion.
What's happening with palladium and platinum?
Well, we've not talked about those much either. I don't. Let me see here. Well, I may as well see what I can do for you. Platinum has had some pretty good gains, actually. You know, I'd sort of given up on my own platinum coins. I gave all my platinum nobles away to my kids, and they've performed relatively well. There's a revival there, I guess, because of the perception that they have utility in certain industries.
Now, your most unfavorite, Bitcoin, it peaked at 124. It's lost about half its value.
Yeah, except that the last important low in Bitcoin was $60,000. And when you see a round number like that, you know, Bitcoin was coming down really, really hard over the month of January. The second half of January, it was just not even a roller coaster ride. It just collapsed. And the collapse took it right down to 60,000, 60,000.00. And when you have a bottom like that, it's basically there because someone out there is making a statement that this is as low as they think it should go. They just saw, they draw a line in the sand, they get in there and take on all sellers. So you definitely had, I put that word someone, you could substitute the word they with a capital T, but they're making a statement that 60K is about as low as they want it. And you can assume that when something is as talked up and as manipulated as Bitcoin prices, that it didn't get down to 60 just because people tired of it. It got down to 60,000 because those who want it most wanted it there. So for all I know, that could be Trump and his minions deciding, yeah, if we're going to build a currency system on Bitcoin or cryptos, we don't want to be paying $120,000 per copy. Let's just let her fall and help it come down till it's a level where it's a better buy. So I wouldn't infer weakness, let alone fatal weakness, from this horrific slide that cut Bitcoin in half. It's really just from a concerted effort by what you would call the smart money to get it down to prices where they're more interested in buying it.
We'll have more with Rick Ackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Ackerman. Rick, before we started the interview, we were talking about the Epstein files, and you're saying the real revelation here may not be the men exploiting young women and children, but the financial side of it, where Epstein perhaps was the conduit between the deep state and so on to manipulate the economy.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty cool story, really. The whole sex scandal thing, it's not hard to imagine that that's just a circus to conceal some deeper truth. And one of those deeper truths that's floating around is that Epstein's main job was to help the British set up a currency system. And Tom Luongo had an interesting take on this and he makes a very interesting point that in order to be a global power, you don't need to control the supply of things. And of course, Britain doesn't have much of anything on the aisle. They don't have even the financial, the store of capital, let's say, to dominate the world's financial markets. But of course, for many years, they did control the dollar with the LIBOR rate. And it's only been through a concerted effort by Trump and his Treasury Secretary that we've finally gotten out from under the LIBOR thumb. So the British, the further point here is that you don't have to actually have physical supplies of things, gold, silver, or even dollars to control those things. You just need to control the flow of them. So that's what the British were trying to do, to put the world on a Bitcoin standard. And Epstein, essentially, with all his network, his contacts, and all realms of government, was the point man to establish that network. And it didn't work out quite so well. It looks like Bitcoin has escaped the grip, if not to say iron control, of MI6 or whoever behind the establishment of Bitcoin. So Epstein, I'm not sure which, is I think it's Epstein, was just his usefulness in being carrying the water of MI6 and the powers that be in the remnants of the British Empire. That was his chief role. So don't believe all the sex scandals. I mean, you can believe them, but they're really just that's just bread and circuses.
Well, so now when it comes to money, that's what really makes the world go around. Do you think that will cause other governments to take a closer look at these files to see who is trying to manipulate their markets?
Well, what's been stirred up so far with Epstein and the files that have been released is certainly enough to pique anyone's curiosity, and of course that includes sovereign entities that may have had some involvement with Epstein, and of course the ones that connected Britain up with Epstein and Britain, their financial agents or agencies, has become pretty obvious. The British, you know, the British are always going to be at the heart of any international sex scandal. I'm not going to even speculate as to why. So the British have been pretty well implicated in Pleasure Island, and a few of them have lost their jobs or even titles. So it's just going to keep spinning, and I think that Trump probably initially said, "Well, this is the world really doesn't want to know all this." It's like, but I think eventually he said, "Screw it, just let it go," and he let the Pandora's box get opened, and let the chips fall where they may. He could only have done that if he was completely, if he was not complicit in any way or stretch of the imagination with Epstein. And it now seems pretty clear that he saw Epstein coming and someone to avoid back around 2006 or seven. You know, that's when Trump was kind of acting as a whistleblower, providing information to investigators into things he knew about Epstein that the rest of the world didn't find out for another, for another 10 years. So so at that point, Trump had nothing to lose personally. He obviously thought Epstein was a scumbag, and all the evidence says Trump not only avoided him, he was trying to have him put away.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there anything else that we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Well, anything but the newspapers, you know. It's their fault that they're dying, but that's the last place in the world you're going to look for news. And I guess you just have to pick your bloggers or your influencers, and I guess make good choices, and maybe you'll learn something. We've anybody who picked what's his face, Steve Bannon, has obviously, they were sold out because the most recent Epstein release was a lot of correspondence between Bannon and Epstein that suggests that Bannon wasn't who he said he was. He certainly wasn't. He wasn't a MAGA guy. He was working for the other side.
Rick, always fun chatting with you.
Indeed, a pleasure, Jim. I enjoyed talking with you as well, and always appreciate the opportunity to get on your show.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.